welcome to the My Money Podcast, number 114, from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, the editor of the Help Me To Save website, where you'll find tips to help you save money, spend less, and enjoy life. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'll discuss three recent articles from Help Me To Save. They are how you can earn a £25 welcome bonus if you lend out at least £1,000 on the RateSetter peer-to-peer website. Beware of Vodafone's disappearing discount. And finally, why I'm concerned by the proposal to abolish Class 2 national insurance contributions. So starting off with the RateSetter peer-to-peer website. Now, a peer-to-peer website is an online platform through which people can lend out money and borrow money. And I've been thinking about becoming a peer-to-peer lender for ages. I was attracted by the fact that interest rates paid to lenders are generally higher than on standard savings accounts with financial institutions. However, that allure was tempered by the fact that peer-to-peer lending is more risky, as your deposit, unlike at a bank or building society, isn't covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, which guarantees your cash up to £85,000 per institution. So this is kind of the norm with money. The more risk you take, the higher the potential return, but risk may mean that your initial deposit, your capital, is at risk. If things go badly, you could lose some of that initial investment. If they go well, you can make more than you would having your money in a traditional savings account. So it's up to you if you want to take that risk. Now, many peer-to-peer websites do have a fund set aside to cover bad debts. But if the percentage of bad debts increased dramatically, for example, in a scenario where interest rates increase and, say, borrowers don't have enough cash left to pay off their peer-to-peer loan, if their mortgage payments increase, the fund that's set aside by the peer-to-peer site is unlikely to be large enough if there's a big increase in bad debts. Now, thinking about, for myself, becoming a peer-to-peer lender, I didn't want to tie money up for a long time. Generally, the longer you tie the money up, the higher the interest rate you get. Now, most sites, peer-to-peer sites, will say, well, you can tie your money up, but you can still have access. They do have a facility which allows you to withdraw cash before the end of the term, but there is a financial penalty. So you'll lose so much of the interest if you take the money out early, which is the same with some fixed rate savings products from banks and building societies. Some you can withdraw early, but you have to pay a penalty of so many days loss of interest. So that is similar. But the complication with getting money back earlier through a peer-to-peer site is that whether you get your money out is dependent on another lender being willing to take on your loan. If nobody else wants to get involved and take on loans, then you're not going to get your money back. You need to be aware of that. But what finally prompted me into action, becoming a peer-to-peer lender, was finding a RateSetter referral link, which meant if I deposited and lent out a minimum of £1,000, I'd receive a £25 credit into my account within 30 days. I thought that this would be a nice bonus to the interest earned. The £25 credit is immediately lent out into the monthly access market at the current rate. Now, if you're thinking about becoming a peer-to-peer lender and you're going to deposit a minimum of £1,000, if you come to the website helpmetosave.com and enter in the search box in the margin on the right-hand side, search, put in RateSetter, then you'll find the article with the referral link. And if you click through on this link, you can also receive a £25 welcome bonus. But you need to come to the site and click through on that special link. Now, going back to me, thinking about my £1,000 that I put in, what interest rate was I going to get? Well, I decided that the best option for me was the monthly access account, which is repaid at the end of each 1 month term. And it was quoting a rate of 2.9%. However, I have to say that the 6.4% quoted on a five-year term did look tempting, but I didn't want to tie the money up for so long. But what I didn't really fully appreciate was that the rate of interest that you'll receive when you lend your money out is not guaranteed to be the one quoted on the rate setter homepage. You need to make your initial deposit, which you can do by debit card or bank transfer, and then put in an order stating the interest rate that you wish to achieve. When I placed my order, there was already around £5,000 from three orders waiting to be borrowed at that rate of 2.9%. I could have guaranteed lending out my £1,000 immediately if I'd been willing to accept a rate of 2.7%. However, I worked out as long as my £1,000 deposit was lent out within 2 days, I'd be better sticking to the 2.9%. My risk paid off, as after 3 hours my £1,000 had been let out at my desired rate of 2.9%. And it was let out and lent out in three different tranches. It won't necessarily be the same person who will lend the whole amount that you deposit. Obviously, if you've got a big deposit, it's likely to be in lots of little chunks. Now, if you plan to keep lending out your cash on this monthly access, or however long you put it in for, you can set up an auto reinvestment at maturity. You can either select the market rate on that day or enter the rate that you wish to receive. At the end of my first month, I decided to set my desired interest rate at 3%, as I'd seen a few lenders achieve this rate on the monthly access funds. And it's the same rate as I earn on my Santander 123 current account on a balance of between £3,000 and £20,000. I was very impressed that I received the £25 referee credit to my rate setter account less than 24 hours after my cash was lent out. The £25 credit was immediately lent out on the monthly access market, but at the current rate, I had no say over which rate it would be lent out in. I was a bit disappointed that it was only going to earn a rate of 2.6%. That certainly made me think that I probably made the right decision to set my reinvestment option at a higher rate rather than just go for the market rate. Of course, that's only true if your cash is lent out within a couple of days. So, you just have to be aware of all the ins and outs. Don't compare a peer-to-peer lending site with a traditional bank or building society account, because they're different. Yeah, you can get a slightly higher rate of interest than in most savings accounts, but with some of the high interest current accounts, you can achieve a similar return to a peer-to-peer site. But if you put in £1,000, getting a £25 bonus is quite a nice little extra. Certainly pushes the interest rate that you earn up quite a bit. So, warning and disclosure, as I've pointed out quite a few times, your capital is at risk on a peer-to-peer lending website. And also, I should say that I will earn £25 credit for a referral, as well as you receiving a £25 credit. The welcome bonus may be withdrawn or modified at any time by rate setter, so just check that the promotion is running before you proceed. As I say, if you come to the website www.helpmetosave.com and put in the search box in the margin rate setter, article comes up. When you click through the link, you'll see Karen Bryan is already a rate setter, and you'll get a £25 welcome bonus. If that doesn't appear, you need to check that the welcome bonus is still running. Now, next article I'll discuss is Vodafone's disappearing discount. When I checked my Santander 123 current account, I was surprised that my monthly payment for the Vodafone mobile phone contract had increased by almost £9. I logged into my Vodafone current account to check the bill. The reason for the increase was that the £8.75 monthly discount agreed at the start of my 24-month mobile phone contract in mid-May 2013 had not been applied. I contacted Vodafone through online chat to query this and request a refund for the £8.75. I was informed that any discount is not applied for the last 3 months of a contract in order to improve the upgrade options available to customers, and that in fact I was lucky to have received the £8.75 discount for the previous 2 months. As I wasn't informed of the withdrawal of the discount for the last 3 months when I took out the contract, I viewed this as a breach of contract and requested that the $8.75 discount be credited to my account. After almost 1 hour on chat, it was eventually agreed, after the chat agent consulted with their manager, that a credit of $8.75 would be applied to my next and final Vodafone bill. This is the end of my 24-month contract. I requested that a copy of the online chat be emailed to me. I wanted to have a written record in case the credit didn't appear on my final bill. I was left questioning whether it was worth spending 1 hour to get a credit of $8.75. For me, it was the principle that Vodafone shouldn't be allowed to get away with not honouring the discount for the entire contract. However, it's really annoying to spend time sorting out something that should have never happened in the first place. With so many bills being paid online and then by direct debit, it's all too easy for suppliers to get away with ploys like this. If you get an online bill every month, do you always go in and check it? Are you checking your bank account every month to see that direct debits are the correct amount? I'm not convinced that everybody does it every month. So that's my advice. Ensure that you check your bank statements at least once a month and chase up any unusual payments. And the final article I'll discuss is why I'm concerned by the proposal to abolish Class 2 national insurance contributions. Now, a few months ago, the UK Chancellor announced the proposed abolition of Class 2 national insurance contributions. Now, Class 2 national insurance contributions are paid by self-employed people like me. It's a flat rate of £280 a week. And if your self-employment earnings are less than around just under £6,000 per year, you can claim a small earnings exemption from paying Class 2 national insurance contributions. Paying Class 2 national insurance contributes towards building up the 35 years required to receive a full state pension from 2016. Self-employed workers earning above around £9,000 a year pay Class 4 national insurance contributions at a rate of 9%. However, these Class 4 contributions don't count towards building up the 35 qualifying years for a full state pension. Now, when this announcement of the proposed abolition of Class 2 national insurance contributions was made, some people viewed it as a tax cut of around £145 a year for the self-employed and a welcome simplification of the confusing national insurance system regime for the self-employed. Well, I do agree with the simplification, but as I'll discuss soon, I'm not sure that's actually a tax cut. I searched for more information about the new national insurance regime which will be brought in for the self-employed following this proposed abolition of Class 2 contributions. All that I could find is that Class 4 national insurance contributions will be reformed to introduce a new contributory benefit test, which I assume in everyday language means that paying Class 4 national insurance contributions will count towards a state pension. And there's going to be a consultation on the matter in August 2015. Well, now that the general election's over and the Conservatives are in power, they were the ones that made the proposal, I assume it's going to go ahead. But I'm left wondering how self-employed workers with earnings below the Class 4 threshold of around £9,000 will be able to pay towards a full state pension. Maybe the National Insurance Contribution Class 4 threshold will be reduced. But if that happens, the self-employed on low earnings could end up paying more in Class 4 National Insurance Contributions than they previously did in Class 2 contributions. I just feel in limbo yet again. My pension planning has already been affected by the increase in the number of years required for a full state pension, which at present are 30, going up to 35 from April next year. And now I'm left wondering what's going to happen for the next 4 years from April next year that I need to pay contributions in order to make up the full 35 years. If I have to pay with the old regime under Class 2 National Insurance contributions, you know, about 135 a year for 4 years from April next year, 2016. It's only going to be a few hundred pounds, but maybe the Class 4 contributions will be higher. Suppose I'll just have to pay them if I want a full state pension. But again, it just illustrates, even if you try to get to grips with pensions, try to understand them, try to plan, things keep changing. And at least if they propose something, they should tell you what's going to take its place, not leave you for months wondering what on earth is happening. Anyway, that's the end of this edition of the My Money podcast from Help Me to Save. If you come to the website at www.helpmetosave.com, you can read all the articles in full. You can subscribe to the My Money podcast in iTunes. So thanks for listening and do join me again soon. Goodbye.